This episode of All Things Transformers was recorded Monday, February 8th, 2021. You'll have to excuse us with how late we are in talking about this stuff. We know that the Beast Alliance thing has kinda sorta been confirmed, but still, I hope you enjoy this episode of All Things Transformers. I have been TFG1 Mike, and now, on with the show.
Hello, my fellow geeks. This is Tom Geek Kenny, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
This is Megatron, and you found the All Things Transformers frequency here at the GeekCast Radio Network. Join Steve and Mike as they unleash the beast in you and discuss All Things Transformers. Excellent! Yes!
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me in this adventure into Transformers is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, I am here.
He is here. He is waiting.
That's right.
For what? We don't know.
I'm waiting for actual news about a Beast Wars movie.
Oh, you mean not the, yeah.
Okay, so you posted this on the All Things Transformers Facebook page, and then you mentioned it to me, and I'm like, rumor? Really? Rumor? I want actual news, and this really flashes me back to 2010, 2011, when we were so fed up with Transformers, Dark of the Moon, or whatever movie was, I think it was Dark of the Moon at the 2011. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but like, oh, filming location is outside Steve's back door in Flint, where the robots can't drink the water or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was a news item, was filming location. Here it is. Go stalk them.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I always wanted us to avoid that kind of stuff. Talking about that kind of stuff on this show, because it just, okay, they're filming in Detroit. Great. Detroit is Motor City. They're filming in Los Angeles. Great. Los Angeles, everybody drives there. Nobody takes public transportation in Los Angeles. They're filming in Abu Dhabi or Dubai. Or, okay, great. Then that means they're going to be doing some sort of desert scene. Great.
So,
take it away.
So anyways, there's this site called the Illuminati, which honestly, I swear it's another We Got This Covered.
It has to be, and hence why I didn't even want to talk about this as soon as I saw the name of the website.
So, and the fact that I think they're just trying to make themselves credible.
Yeah.
So they're reporting on something that Deadline had last November.
Oh, Deadline had it in November of 2020. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Well, it says, now listen, it says Transformers Creed 2 director Stephen Caple Jr. is tapped to direct next installment in Paramount and Hasbro franchise.
I remember reading this on Deadline, actually.
Yes. I remember reading it, too. However, it doesn't say which active project is in development. So, because obviously there's an animated Transformers prequel, and then there's a live action continuation of Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
So and what they're trying
the transforms on the microphone.
Yes. So what they're trying to say is that this is going to be another Transformers film. There has been nothing said about a Beast Wars officially, or Beast Alliance, which is just pulled out of their rear. The graphics, I mean, they're using basically Times New Roman for Beast Alliance and then the original G1 logo.
Hey, you leave Times New Roman alone, goddammit.
Well, regardless of that, they're the only one. They're their own source, which tells me that they're BS.
Exactly.
Just like We Got This Covered. And because whenever you click on a link, it goes right back to theirs.
Yep.
So they give their poor rendition of what they think Beast Wars was. And then they say I'm so not nice.
I know.
So anyways, they're saying that our sources within the studio have also provided us with the context for the new science fiction adventure. Transformers Beast Alliance takes place in the Bumblebee timeline and will be set in the 1990s. The film will have the flavor of a heist film that will span from Brooklyn to South America.
So, okay. All right. You just farted on it. So that's your
No,
hold on.
Yeah, okay.
You farted on it. My immediate reaction to it was, oh, so it's Fast and the Furious with Transformers.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Well, that's just prime.
Because, seriously, what that line basically says is the entirety of the Fast saga. I mean, they go to all various cities, and they're all in these muscle cars and other souped-up, you know, tuner cars and things like that. In the seventh one, in Furious 7, they actually take a bunch of supercars and they drive them out of a high-rise in Dubai and have them crash into another high-rise in Dubai. So basically, you could have Optimus Prime standing right there, just kind of like, alley-oop? Like, yeah. As soon as I read that line, I'm like, oh, it's Fast and the Furious with Transformers. Great.
See, and if somebody's only into Transformers and not Fast and the Furious, they wouldn't know that. And so they would think that it's legit news.
Luckily, I'm into both, and I know this is not legit news.
Yeah, even my cat said that's crap. She's going, down here.
It's a crap,
as Michael Wilson would say. It's a crap.
Yep.
So, Cybertron.com does a very well rounded way of grounding this entire thing. It says, fact number one, Stephen Caple Jr. Creed 2 is the director of the next Transformers movie, whatever it may be. Fact number two, Joby Harold, also working on the Disney Plus initiative Obi-Wan Kenobi show, is handling script duties. Fact number three, the movie is set for a release in 2022. This could easily change, but this is what they're saying at the moment. And everything else is a rumor and false till proven true.
I do want to talk about this logo, though. Actually want you to make this logo the logo of the pod art for this podcast, only because I think they could improve on this, and I know you can improve on this as a graphic artist. No, I know, but what I'm saying is, looking at what this says, Transformers Beast Alliance. Okay, first of all, if you're going to do a Beast Wars, Beast Machines, anything, it needs to be a little bit more bestial. You can have the Transformers Generation 1 logo, like you have here, but it should have claw marks through it, whether it's Dinobot's claws, whether it's Megatron's claws, whomever's claws. Like, if it's Beast Alliance, it needs to be more Beast and not just G1 with Times New Roman, even though I love that font. So yeah, please and thank you.
Or maybe I should put my own version of it.
Hey, do what you want. I'm just saying, I just like seeing a really, really clean Transformers font logo thing. Like, this is the cleanest I've ever seen the original 80s Transformers font logo as far as an image goes. Because most of the time it's too small or it's, you know, it's cluttered by other things, or it goes by too fast, or whatever.
No, I get it. So anyways, obviously the title is not going to be that, even if it is true. I have been, ever since I caught wind of that stupid Cheetor picture that was flying around towards the end of January, I incorporated that into my panel at IACON.
Yes. IACON Online, which was January 30th and 31st, 2021, all virtual, all the time, till all are one.
It was. And what's funny to me is, you know, I'm sitting there in my soapbox, you know, having a jolly to good time. as people were saying, the minute my panel comes up, and I'm reading from the screenshots of the Discord channel because they wiped the Discord channel after the convention, like a week after.
Right.
Just because, you know, there's no point in having it after.
But, so, right. But you got the screenshots beforehand. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got the ones that pertaining to my panel. I was able to tune in, thankfully, during that part. I pre-recorded it because I wasn't sure if I was going to have time. Right. Plus, I have this time constraint issue where I felt more comfortable editing down. Mm-hmm. So anyways, the first comment goes, Beast Wars, like exclamation over and over. And then people were going, I hope I get to catch this panel. And somebody else is like, it's great so far. I just started watching Beast Wars and I already love it. And somebody else yells Possession because I was talking about the G1 references.
Right.
Because I basically laid it out in layman's terms for people that may not know anything about it.
Right.
And then I talked about every other franchise.
Right. You laid it out like someone brand new coming to the franchise, which is the way you should lay it out to anyone brand new coming to the mm-hmm. franchise. You should not go in to say, oh, this is Megatron and Beast Wars was better than G1 or whatever kind of Sean Connery voice you want to give Megatron. But it's, you know, one of those things where you go in with it, where you present the panel as if no one knows what it is. And here is my knowledge of this thing that is so cool that I think people will like. And here's the other thing. It is 2021. We are in the 25th anniversary of Beast Wars. Everybody that was born from 1990 to 1996 is now old enough to have their own jobs, to have graduated college, get their own jobs, make their own money, and they grew up watching the cartoon, maybe, or even people a little older, like yourself or like myself. I was 16 when Beast Wars happened. But it was one of those things where we are now entering a time where Beast Wars is 25, almost 30 years old, just like when G1 was 30 years old, and everybody that grew up with it wanted to rediscover it.
Oh, and I agree. And that was the point of the panel, was why Beast Wars matters 25 years later.
Right.
And so some of the other comments, somebody says, happy to hear someone repping the Beast Wars legends. Because I, of course, didn't just touch on Beast Wars from America. I touched on the Japanese stuff, too.
All of it, yeah.
And I didn't pretend to know as much as I, you know about the American version, but I did bring it up that it was another continuation and another basically timeline. They were talking about some of the legend stuff that I brought up. And then, somebody else goes, man's going off and I'm laughing so hard. Like I agree with him 100%. I'm just amused. somebody says, yeah, I felt that this was mostly a soapbox time, and they put, that's cool though. And somebody says, they were excited when Rampage and Depth Charge showed up because I played that video, that CG one,
right,
that came out a few years ago. Somebody was messing around with it. So I was basically laying out what I thought the movie should actually be.
Right.
And I said, you know, those those whatever amalgamations of the CG models of Primal and Cheetor for the live action were just utter dog snot, you know. And I said, no disrespect to the guys that did the art for them, I said, but if you're trying to do Beast Wars, use the aesthetic you've already created with Godzilla, King Kong, you know, why make them overly complicated?
Mm-hmm.
Make them look like animals, and then use the Prime One Studios versions of the characters where they're a little bit more, you know, bestial, you know, and you can see like the hair texture, you can see, you know, it's more more defined than the Beast Wars cartoon was 25 years ago. I said, you know, why mess with perfection with it when you have the blueprint? Just make it, you know, darken the tones, make it look a little bit more realistic, but you have it all there. Why screw with it?
Yeah, exactly.
And so somebody else says, because I says, yeah, soapbox and why we need Beast Wars and still do. Somebody says, you speak the truth and we hear you. And somebody else is like, I'm really enjoying this. You are speaking the truth. 2021 Beast Wars Renaissance. I speak it into existence. And then somebody else says, you're really knowledgeable and you lay it out for even people who didn't really follow Beast Wars stuff. And then I got a bunch of yes, yes. and people saying, such a good panel. Look at all these correct opinions on Beast Wars. And they're like the Twitch channel and chatter enjoying themselves. I wish I would have caught that. I think if you watch the replay, I think you can see it, but
probably, yeah,
I'll have to check that.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I will always love G1, but Beast Wars was really good. And I hope they get some new and excellent stuff to us. And they're like excited to see the new stuff coming. But yeah, it was just, it was funny just the amount of love the panel got, which I was on pins and needles. I'm like, I hope people enjoy my soapbox and I don't sound like a blubbering idiot. And it went over well and I was quite pleased. And so, but I talked about, you know, the toys and how we're getting this renaissance 25 years later. We're getting, you know, brand new toys, third party toys, masterpiece toys, you know, Kingdom. We're getting, even now they're talking about reissuing the Transmetal figures.
That would be cool.
Which I would love, because honestly, the one key thing about Transmetals versus the original toys, Transmetals, with the exception of like their sizing and their scale and, you know, some of the chrome issues or metallic paint issues that flaked, or a couple of cheap plastics that got brittle and broke, like Transmetal Megatron.
Right.
Overall, they were pretty show accurate for what they were.
Right. Yeah.
And they still hold up. And so a lot of people are like, yeah, just release them. And what's crazy about it is you can't find a Transmetal Megatron for under $100 on eBay.
Oh, no. Because it's so coveted. Yeah, it's so coveted because it was so good, because it was show accurate. It was, again, it was because Hasbro was trying to do this thing where, okay, we have this show, we have these toys. The toys look like the show looks like the toys. We have to make sure that we get this into kids' hands. And again, I was 16, you were 10. Yeah, you were 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10-year-old you probably wanted every single one of these once you saw them on the screen. 16-year-old me really wasn't into it, kind of a thing at the time, because I was growing up out of the toy thing. But, you know, I remember when I was collecting toys from 2005 to 2011, I got a bunch of Beast Wars stuff in my collection at the time. I didn't get everything. I only got like a few various things. But I remember, our good buddy, Michael Wilson, Pecan Court Michael, who does the Beast Unleashed podcast with us and stuff. He sent me, he had a duplicate of Optimal Optimus. And I'm like, yeah, I want that. He just sent it to me. I was like, oh, cool. So I had Optimal Optimus for the first time ever in my life.
Nice.
And it was just like, oh, I'm watching season 3, episode 1, Optimal Situation. And I'm like, if I have to pick specifically an Optimus episode out of the entire Beast Wars run, not Beast Machines, but Beast Wars, honestly, Optimal Situation is my favorite one.
I could see that. I loved the fact that they took Primal and they made him look like a mix between like a Prime and made him bigger and then gave him basically his season 1 head almost back.
Right.
And made him more metallic again instead of just a beast. And
yep.
I loved that design to the point that when my parents were separated, I had two Optimal Optimuses, two Optimus Primal Transmetals, and two Transmetal Megatrons at both houses, like one at each house. And right. They're long gone now. Most of them either A, broke, or I sold them years ago. Some of them as much as 3 years ago, and I'm kicking myself for it now. But especially because they're like worth double what I sold them for 3 years ago.
Yep.
Specifically the dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I sold some of them because they were not show accurate. And I had this feeling that within a couple years we were going to get show accurate stuff.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I like this toy. I like it for nostalgia and for the fact that I know that I bought it. But I didn't love it for the fact that it was not show accurate. And that irritates the crap out of me when it comes to toys. You know, some of them I'm like, I'll do it anyway. Some of them I'm, because like, no matter what way you go about it, unless you buy Masterpiece Cheetor, they all suck. Not a one looks just like him. And so that, I mean, unless you're getting Transmetal, but right. The rest of them don't even resemble his season one look. Point in case, Netflix, you know, the Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
Cheetor, it looks better than the Thrilling 30 version.
Oh, wow.
And the 10th anniversary version.
Again, but, you know, Hasbro is... But
it still sucks by comparison. I would rather have the 96 one still.
Oh, wow.
Because they don't... a lot of the robot form I just find annoying. And they're even... It's to the point now because, like, Hasbro comes out with a Netflix version and the whatever the trilogy name version is.
Right.
And the Netflix version, they doctor them up so that they look actually show accurate by color. Because if you have the Kingdom line Cheetor, he has light blue in spots and his yellow is more yellow than gold. And the eyes on the cat are orange. And if you wait for the Netflix version, which is coming around June, although some reports have been that he's appeared recently, he's got the dark blue like the show. He's got the dark, like he's got the goldish color from the show. He's got, you know, the green eyes on the cat, you know? So, I mean, it's still not show accurate, but it's better. I am enjoying what they're doing with them anyway. Like Megatron, hands down, the Kingdom is as close to Masterpiece as you can get without spending the money.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Black Arachnia or Rat Trap's a kind of little bit here or there. I think the Thrilling 30 did them better, but again, I got rid of a lot of these kind of stupidly, but so again, looking on eBay, there's people are just price butchering everything of Beast Wars. If you can find them, they want an obscene amount of money for any of them. You know, even Terrorsaur, you know, you would have paid $6 for back in the day. They're like anywhere from like 20 to 50. Tarantulas, you're talking anywhere like the Transmetal Tarantulas, mind you, anywhere from 45 missing a part or two through to like $400.
Jesus.
So, because I was like, man, I really like Tarantulas, the Transmetal, there was really nothing wrong with him. Like, he's pretty spot on. But I mean, you can find Primals, but he's missing either his gun or some of the other parts.
Right.
But again, for the price of the Masterpiece, or not the Masterpiece, but the Transmetal Optimus Primal, I can buy a third-party TransArt Optimus Primal that's Masterpiece scale, lights up, and has changing faces. And the head poses. Like, in Beast Mode, the head actually moves.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
So like, for an extra $40, you can get one that works.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird time to be a Beast Wars collector.
I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. This is the time for the Beast Wars anniversaries, just like it was time for the G1 anniversaries. And prices are going to be insane for those older, more vintage figures that people might still want. And I just want to see what Hasbro does now with the Beast line. I want to see how they're going to do show accurate to the old show accurate to the new show, whatever kind of thing. Like, that's where my interest lies, is seeing how what they do nowadays with the toy technology that they have. Because back then, toys were good, but like you just said, Kingdom Megatron almost beats or comes close to Masterpiece Megatron for 2/3 the price of what Masterpiece Megatron actually is, kind of thing.
Oh, I know. And it's crazy, too. Like, it's... And he's not... I mean, he's a couple inches shorter, but he's still taller than Masterpiece Optimus Primal.
As he should be.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, even, you know, comparing him to the original Ultra, he's still a head taller.
Oh, wow.
And I honestly am, I love the figure. Like, the figure is awesome, by comparison. I always tried to repaint mine, in the 90s or early 2000s and tried to make him show accurate, but, some of the plastic got brittle on him and some of the stuff just looked crappy because, you know, you're doing it yourself. but I mean, I'm really dying for these Transmetal figures, so I'm gonna wait till Hasbro does something, or just watch and see what happens, because like somebody mentioned, you know, when these Kingdom toys come out, either A, they'll be better than the originals, in which case people will dump their old stock.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone, the people that are completionists won't, but the people that are just like, oh, I need money to buy these, they'll dump the old stuff. And honestly, I've debated getting the Thrilling 30 Rhinox, and I have the Kingdom Rat Trap, but if I could get the Thrilling 30 Rat Trap again, I probably would. I have the Thrilling 30 Waspinator.
Mm-hmm.
They still sell them at BBTS.
Oh, wow, very cool.
So I got them there. And even though I bought them years ago and then I sold them, I bought them for like $8 at a flea market, and I paid 20 for them new. But it came with a comic this time, so that was cool. And it's got it's Waspinator, like, actually in the comic, which I was like, oh, that's neat. But yeah, so I mean, and I have the Studio Series 86 Scourge, I have Kingdom Cheetor and Black Arachnia now. I'm waiting for Air Razor and Dinobot. Part of me wants like the Masterpiece, but I know that's never gonna happen for my budget. So Kingdom is as close as I'm coming to a lot of them. Although the Optimus and Megatrons, like the Transmetal stuff, I'm probably going to splurge. I probably will wait on the Transmetal third party Optimus Primal unless they get a third party Transmetal Megatron.
Right.
And then I'll have to get it because I'll need it to match.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I'm... Well, I have Masterpiece Primal.
Right.
Which is sick because I paid $119 for him in 2016 when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
He goes for $299 new.
Wow. Masterpiece Optimus Primal came out in 2016? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Then they had, Cheetor, Dinobot, Megatron, and then Tigatron. And, the third-party stuff, they've got... Transmetal Optimus Primal, Transmetal Cheetor, and Transmetal or Transmutate, and then they've got Ravage from season 2. Which that's tempting because he's only like 60.
Very cool.
But I don't care enough. So I like season 1, and then I like certain Transmetals. And so like when it comes to the Transmetals, I'm like the leaders. That's all I care about. Unless it's like Depth Charge or Rat Trap or Tarantulas, but only because there's a nostalgia for the original toy.
Exactly.
Well, and Rat Trap, to be fair, wasn't quite show accurate. His wheels didn't flip upside down and stuff. So yeah, anyways, I've gone off on a tangent, but the price butchering is just insane watching people destroy budgets over the original stuff.
Yeah. And it's just so crazy. Like, that's why I try my best to stay off of eBay. I think the last eBay purchase I made was 2017. And before that, it was like 2011. I try to avoid, if at all costs, if I can get something somewhere else, I will.
Yeah, that's kind of my method. I've been watching TF Source and BBTS, and I'm kind of to that boat of if I can find it somewhere else, mm-hmm. I'd prefer it. I don't particularly like eBay because you never know what you're getting. And yes, I've sold a bunch of crap on there before, but again, you don't know. And plus, people are just scalping.
Yep.
All
I can say is I'm very glad that the Transformers toy market has not hit Wish.com, because Wish.com is by far the ultimate worst never know what you're going to get thing. There's so many, like, I recently, and this has nothing to do with Transformers, sadly, it's a tangent, folks. I've been recently watching Mr. Who's the Boss on YouTube. His name is Aaron. He's the UK's leading tech phone reviewer person. And absolutely love the guy. I've watched so many of his videos recently, ever since Samsung announced the Galaxy S21 Ultra. And he's done a couple videos where somebody has sponsored his video and given him whatever to go on to Wish.com and buy a bunch of fake phones to see how close and how accurate they actually are to the real thing. And it, like, oh, I'm so glad that Transformers toy market has not devolved into Wish.com.
Yeah, that's the one thing I got to say about the Transformers market is it's surprisingly held its value.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I'm disappointed
mm-hmm.
by the toys, because they just, one, they hold together. Two, they're the original stuff. And then three, like, I honestly enjoy playing with them because they're Beast Wars.
Right.
And the kids think it's cool. They're like, oh, it's beasts. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'll be happy when I start seeing some of these, you know, new Transmetals hopefully come back out and be reissued. And I hope that Hasbro fixes their problems with the original toys, as far as the chrome and the metal paint flaking off, and some of the cheap plastic. Like, I would take this, honestly, in the vein that they did for the 10th anniversary
mm-hmm.
or the Thrilling 30, and slightly remold them and make them better. Because if they're going to charge the same price that they did the last, or, you know, with the current toys, mm-hmm. not what they used to charge, they might as well re-engineer some of it. You know, give us a better Megatron head on the Transmetal, fix the plastic that's brittle. Because again, that could be the difference between somebody buying third party or somebody buying the official.
mm-hmm.
Because they're never going to hit Transmetals for the masterpiece. They still have quite a few left to go in season one. So
it's a good 6 or 7 years down the road, probably, most likely,
at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm happy for some of this. I'm happy for some of the third party stuff. But, you know, something that's not third party, but something that's kind of original. I caught wind of this on one of the Beast Wars groups that I was in. And mm-hmm. Funbee Studios has 3D printing of some of, you know, they just create stuff for G1. They create stuff for Kingdom, for Siege, for various lines for Beast Wars. They 3D printed a hunting rifle for War for Cybertron Kingdom Megatron.
Cool.
Similar to Call of the Wild.
Yep.
They 3D printed it, so it fits that toy.
Right.
And they also 3D print things that Hasbro, in their cheapness, decided not to incorporate into the toys, such as if you look at some of the legs of some of the figures, they're hollow.
Mm.
So you can see all of the pieces that are glued together in the leg.
Right.
And so they create covers.
Very cool.
That are 3D printed to fit in those slots. And so even when it transforms, it doesn't inhibit, you know, your transformation. It just plugs the holes.
Right.
Which tells me that Hasbro cheaped out on, you know, a little bit of plastic to get it in production. But yeah, I mean, it's they did it with Megatron. They did it with Cheetor. They also have Cheetor's plasma rifle, with the brain looking thing on it, you know, and they made that. But what I found really interesting was when I was checking out their website, they made like the maximal CR chamber.
Mm-hmm.
They made the repair arms that go in the CR chamber. They made the maximal shield that Primal held when he came from, you know, coming in the Fuse Wars Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
They've made the Predacon-based floating platforms that various beasts get around on.
Very cool.
The Predacon healing vat that everybody seems to fall in, or Megatron takes his bubble bath. and then they have the stasis pods, which you can get in either masterpiece size or standard.
Yeah, it's all very, very cool stuff, folks.
It's stuff that I wanted as a kid, but they never would build. Like, Hasbro was too cheap to come out with it at the time. I'm like, if Turtles can come out with an entire sewer in a van, you know, in a turtle van and a blimp and, you know, all this other stuff, I'm like, why can't Hasbro do this? Why can't they come out with some of the maximal base and Predacon base? I'm like, where's Megatron's chair? You know, but where's...
What you have to realize with specifically to the turtle blimp, if I'm remembering correctly, please, listeners, don't lambaste me if I'm forgetting this.
I had the blimp.
The turtle blimp was basically just a balloon for the blimp, wasn't it? It was not really...
But it had the plastic thing that attached to it.
Right, right. But the blimp part of it itself, it wasn't like they molded a blimp. It wasn't like today where they could 3D print the blimp and mold it into an action figure to be vehicle. It was
Think about it this way. If you had that blimp, you could put helium in it and it would fly.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I don't know. It's more so the fact that, you know, you look at Batman, you look at Ninja Turtles, they had play sets. You look at Transformers, they don't. I would have paid for a stasis pod as a kid. I would have paid for the healing vat, you know.
Well, as an adult, you can now get a 3D printed version from Funbay.
Yes, you can. And, yeah, so you can actually buy the 3D printable files from their website.
Mm-hmm.
And they show you how many pieces these things come in. And then to have them 3D printed, it's not expensive to have, or not 3D printed, to get the 3D 3D files, it's not expensive. To have them 3D printed, it is.
It's expensive, yes.
Because they sent me their website information from these two studios that print their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was in shock how much some of it cost.
I wasn't,
to be printed.
I was not honestly in shock.
So, yeah. I was a little scared, to say the least.
Okay, so how much does it cost from Funbee to get the 3D printed files for the CR chamber and the vat?
Oh, the 3D printed files are only $10 for the CR chamber, $10 for the vat, $10 for the stasis pod.
Okay, so you spend, let's say, $30 to get these files.
Yes.
I'm sure I can find somebody in the 3D printing universe to be able to 3D print these for you. I know one guy. I don't know what he would charge you for materials, but, you know.
I know how much they cost unpainted.
It's astronomical, folks.
Yeah, the stasis pod, just for the basic one, it's like $85 or $90 just for the to be 3D printed without paint.
Okay, so it's $85
for the standard one, not the masterpiece.
Okay, right. Standard stasis pod Beast Wars non-paint is $85. What is it with paint?
I think it's $185 or $150 something.
Well, there's a huge difference between 150 and 185.
Well, I am trying to find their website as is, but
isn't it just funbee.com?
Well, they don't directly print them.
Oh, they send it. Okay, it's
have two different retailers that they deal with directly.
Okay.
And one of them in America doesn't have like all of them listed. The other one does, and they're in Australia. So they give a little bit more information. But I know that the Masterpiece Stasis Pod's like 265. Like complete.
Yeah, shit. That's, yeah.
And I was like,
you'd rather have the toys than the 3D printed materials currently.
Yeah, currently. Like I would rather have the Megatrons and the yes. you know, the Transmetals and stuff like that.
Yep.
Over having the equipment. But that's not to say that I don't like them, because I would rather get a stasis pod over the CR chamber or the tank.
Uh-huh.
So that tells you what I'm thinking mentally on that, but
right. I mean, like I said at the beginning when we started talking about this, it's very cool. It's very awesome. I think it's great that they offer it to people. It just has to fall in line with your finances to the point of you already have all the figures that you want, and you can now, you know, save up or spend money on their items. That's the key thing here is, like I said a second ago, would you rather actually have the toys first or have this stuff first without any toys? You want to get the toys first, and then next year you can go to these people and say, hey, I have money for whichever, you know, whichever one you want first.
Yeah, it'd definitely be the stasis pod. I think I'd ditch the rest of them in lieu of that, but
that'd be cool though.
Yeah, stasis pod, maybe the maximal shield.
Yeah.
Because that's at least, the shield can't be more than 30. And even if it's not, I could paint that.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Anyways, I couldn't help but bring it up because this is just epic. Like, for a fan to sit there and build these it just adds that much more to the collection there.
Absolutely it does, and it is so very cool. No, it's a part of Transformers that I'm sure, just like you found it, I'm sure other people have already found it and talked about it kind of thing, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it on this podcast yet, and it's not like it's not cool. It's not like it's fake news. It's not like it's a website that's trying to scam you out of $265 for a piece of paper.
Oh, no.
No. I'm just saying, like, this is a good thing, this Funbee thing or whatever it's called. Whatever the website is, I forget off the top.
Well, and they do have some free 3D printable files. Like, they've got Teletran 1. They've got, the ARC crew seats. They've got the Autobot ARC medbay. They've got Starscream's crown. they've got add-ons for people, an ARC monument or the Cybertronian Soundwave lamp, the arm communicator for Soundwave,
very cool.
You know, the horn blasters, the Metroplex's transforming cogs. So I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff.
Metroplex's transforming cog. My eyes, my eyes. Somebody took my eyes. It's all like
they give out. They've got the golden disc, and they've got War for Cybertron Cheetor's gap fillers.
Oh, very cool.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's just it's neat to see what they have. I'll have to, once I find, they also have Megatron's rubber ducky and toothbrush for the, for the Wart for Cybertron figures.
Yep.
yeah. So anyways, once I find the links to the other site, I'll post them in the website.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. It is time to talk comics from IDW. I have the April 2021 solicitations. These are marked for February. So, obviously, these are books that are going to come out in April. We have several titles for the Transformers brand for IDW. First up, My Little Pony Transformers 2, number 1. I think it was last year that they had released the first My Little Pony Transformers crossover miniseries that they did. This is going to be another 4-issue miniseries, written by James Asmus and Sam Maggs, with art by Jack Lawrence, KCW Collar, colors by Tony Fleeks. While using a modified space bridge to bring magic to Cybertron, the Decepticons end up unleashing a more powerful evil from Equestria than they ever could have imagined. Looks like the only way out of this one is to team up. More ponies, more bots, and more magical mayhem as two worlds collide in the return of this hit crossover event. Transformers number 30, written by Brian Ruckley, art by Anna Malkova, and colors by Stefano Simone. War World, we are not meant to be darkness. Optimus Prime does not wish to fight, but knows he must by his side, leading his army as one of Cybertron's former greatest generals and former inmate of the White Tower, Pyra Magna. The two may not see eye to eye, but for the Autobots to survive and stand up to the Decepticons, they must work together. But first, they must get out of Iacon alive. Both of these books are a $3.99 cover price. And we got two more here. Two more. Transformers Beast Wars number 3. Now, if you guys listened to the last episode of All Things Transformers, crossing over with Beast Unleashed in the Pullbag, you'll know that I kind of read this off of Comixology as well. But written by Eric Burnham, art and colors by Josh Burcham. Unbeknownst to the Maximals, the Predacons have taken their first prisoner. As Megatron and Tarantulas run their interrogation, dissent stirs in the Predacon ranks. Who will give first, the dissatisfied Dinobot or the captured Maximal? The Beast Wars rage on. And then finally is Transformers Escape number 5 of 5. This is written by Brian Ruckley with art by Beth McGuire Smith, art and colors. The arcs are prepped and ready, or should be. With thousands of lives on the line, Hound, Wheeljack, Glyph, Tapout, Road Rage, and the rest have to fend off a swarm of enemies, threatening to sabotage the launch and a traitor in their midst in the thrilling conclusion. Very cool, very cool. I was kind of wondering how I was going to do Autobotly April and Autobotly August in 2021. I kind of know how I'm doing Autobotly April, but I was kind of wondering how I was going to do Autobotly August this year to figure out, because I like us reading this stuff in trade, not single issues kind of thing. Obviously, with Beast Wars, we're doing single issues, which is fine. And then I thought to myself, oh, I've done some of the Transformers crossovers, but I haven't done a lot of them yet. Like, we haven't done Transformers Ghostbusters, Transformers Back to the Future hasn't released in trade yet. Transformers My Little Pony number 1, the first series, just came out in trade, I think, or was about to. So it might be crossover, Transformers crossover Autobotly August this year, I don't know. But that's what's going on in comics for this time around. What else you got, sir?
Not much. While I was discovering, I found that they're also making, like, the Maximal Axelon bridge chairs, but
very cool.
But yeah, the I'm quite excited for all the new things coming in Transformers this year.
Yes, that's your line.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god! All right, is there anything else we need to talk about, or are we gonna get the heck out of here?
We're gonna get the heck out of here.
All right. Transform and transcend, and we will catch you next time here on All Things Transformers.
Megatron, terrorize! Only on All Things Transformers. Excellent! Yes!